Now, this intro story, look, I'm not going to lie, it's not the greatest intro story, but I'm curious to get your opinion on it because there's a little bit of discourse behind it, and I'm not talking about the submarine disaster that happened this week. Oh, dearie, no. So, this comes out of the Mirror UK. It was written by Zana Eklund. One mum has said her daughter came up with a cunning plan to try and get more cash out of the mythical tooth fairy because she was fed up with getting $1 per tooth, or £1, because this is the UK. Although her plan backfired and she ended up sulking, but her mum refused to write a response to the letter and didn't cave to her price demand either, giving her the standard £1 she's always received for her teeth, leaving her moody all day. In a post on Mum's Net, she said, "My 9.5-year-old lost a tooth yesterday. She put it under her pillow last night along with a huge letter she wrote asking instead of £1, which is what she normally gets, she gets £5 because the tooth fairy needs to get rid of the queen's head money to make space for the king's head money." She also asked, where do you come from? Are you a boy or a girl? How much money do you give other kids? How old are you? And we didn't write a reply to the letter. I told her last night I wouldn't expect a reply.
That did not fucking happen. That did not fucking happen. That mum is bored and a fucking liar.
I wouldn't expect a reply because the tooth fairy is
that
very
did
busy.
Not happen.
And I don't think they could carry a pen, nor did I give her £5. She got £1 and her dad took the tooth away. So she's woken up this morning not happy she didn't get a reply and really ungrateful that she even got a £1. She was in a sulk the whole way to school and it pissed me right off. Commenters on the post were split as well. Some said the mum was right to stick to her £1 rule. Others insisted she was mean not to to write a reply back, even if it was just to explain to her daughter why she couldn't have £5. All right. Are we what team are we on here,
that
lads?
That did not fucking happen.
I think
I'm on the team this didn't fucking happen.
Lockie's on team conspiracy. It's faked, he says.
This is like that words don't die meme. Yeah, nah, this reeks of Karen or Becky behavior wanting attention.
At the very least, whether it happened or not, yeah, I'm with the people. I don't know if she should have given £5 or whatever, but I do agree. It's like, write your kid a fucking letter back or something, man. Come on. Do something fun. Because then, like, your kid's going
to
be like...
Or talk to her.
Yeah, or talk. Yeah, just talk to your daughter. Don't be like, hold on, honey, I'm recording this.
I mean, yeah, if you don't have time to write a letter, just talk to her and rip that Band-Aid off. She's fucking 9.
Yeah.
She's 9. Why does she believe in a tooth fairy at 9? That's pretty old for a tooth fairy.
I'm about to say, I stopped at, like, maybe 11, maybe 10. I don't know. I want to say older than 9. Yeah.
Look, I believed at that age, but I was told that if I didn't believe in the Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, and Santa Claus, then I wouldn't get any presents.
That's
so
the thing,
I was basically forced into it. Even, you know, at the back of my mind, I knew. Now, it's a good point, Lockie. Like, is this even a mum, or is this like some 40-year-old dude who's got some weird, crazy fantasy of having a family and being a mother? And doesn't.
I think this is a mum. I just think she's making up bullshit.
Yeah.
It's on Mum's Net, so I believe it is a mum, but I just don't believe. Yeah, this is just someone that's bored that's making up a story to sensationalize it.
It's illegal to join Mum's Net if you're not a mum's that, obviously.
Yeah, I believe before you join, they do check your womb to make sure it has been used. You're not allowed to post on Mum's Net.
Adoptive mums, get the fuck out.
It just smells of something like, that is something I can believe that a mum that's really bored would do to make up some bullshit to make their life and their experience parenting a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
I can easily see that.
Why would you come up with a story where it makes you look like such an asshole? Because holy shit, not even like, write a letter back as the tooth fairy. Just be like, sorry, can't afford it, whatever. Just be like, oh, sorry, supply chain issues, you know, whatever.
Supply chain issues.
I think at that age, they can just have a conversation with their child and rip that Band-Aid off. Like, it's 9, they're asking questions about currency. So they're clearly, you know, they're clearly thinking about things in a more intelligent way anyway. So what are you doing fucking... you know, talking about the mysteries of fairies and shit, you know, start engaging with them and explain to them, no, we're going to move you on an allowance now. You're asking all the right questions. Unfortunately, now you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Do those dishes. I don't know. Like, you know, parent the kid. Shit, I don't know.
I think she should have at least negotiated with her. Been like, oh, you know, how about 2.5 pounds? You know, let's meet in the middle. Like the idea the little girl had was a smart idea, but I guess the mum wants to give her the lesson that you don't expect anything extra from your employer. The wages have stayed stagnant. No. The tooth fairy hasn't been paid anymore, so you're not going to get paid anymore either.
Yeah, the lesson: be miserable, but also perform being grateful for that misery that you're being bestowed upon.
And I do love the little girl's logic of, well, the queen's dead. We got to get rid of all that queen money. It's basically useless. We got to get the king's money.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I'm back after this break, this 2-week break, with my awesome co-host, Lockie. Lockie, how's it going?
Hello, hello. I am also back. Wow. It feels like there hasn't been any time off, has it?
That 2 weeks, it definitely goes quickly. How was your time off, Lockie? Did you enjoy your weekends?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was like, it was absolute bliss. Oh, but anyway, here we are. Let's get to it.
Fuck bliss, we're doing this podcast.
Exactly. We've got news to reviews. We have a responsibility to people to tell them what we think about what's going on in the gaming space.
That's right. If not us, then who? And please don't Google to see if there is any other people who do this, because there isn't. Trust us.
There's a lot out there, but we think we're better.
Where are you going to find free 30 or 20-somethings talking about video games? Nowhere, that's where.
We're here to mostly agree with each other.
now Lockie,
but we'll differ on some very key issues.
Oh yes. Now Lockie, you mentioned that your weekends were bliss. Well, my life is bliss because I get to live with
wonderful.
The wonderful Anthony from What Do You Think About This? Anthony, welcome back for the third week in a row.
Yes. Are you getting tired of me yet? No. Too bad. Fuck off. I'm here to stay.
That's right. Anthony was on all our bonus episodes over the last couple of weeks.
He's dug his heels in. He's here. He's not going
anywhere. You can't kill me. I'll die. I'll kill all of you before I die. Never.
Now, we went on break pretty much right before all of the video game news came out.
Yeah.
Like, we had the Summer Games Fest, the Xbox Showcase, Nintendo Direct. There's so much stuff to talk about. So I've just got all the good and most interesting parts from all of those. Well, yeah, we're going to find out. I've got all the most interesting parts from all of those, and we'll see how that goes in this episode. Before we get started, though, Anthony, remind everyone where they can find your podcast.
You can find the podcast that Jaden and I do over at What Do You Think About This Podcast. That'll be on your Spotify, your Amazon, your Google, your iTunes, your Apple Podcasts, everywhere. And if you're looking to contact us, we'll be over at What Do You Think About This Podcast on Twitter. That's WDYTAT Pod on Twitter. Message us if you want to talk to us about stuff, or have us on an episode, or you want to be on one of our episodes. Yay!
Let's go. I've been on a few episodes. It's always a lot of fun. And I believe there's one in the that's supposed to be covered out that just needs to be edited by somebody.
Oh, I'm a lazy fuck. Leave me alone. it'll be out when it gets out.
I'm very much looking forward to checking out the Last of Us episode that we did. But you'll find all of those links in the description of the podcast down below, as well as all the news to reviews links. And if you like What Do You Think About This, or you like news to reviews, the best way you can help us out and get us into the ears of more people is by leaving us a rating or a review wherever you happen to listen to the podcast. Takes no time, costs no money, and makes us feel very good. We need validation. We're human. Just like
gives us the good tingles.
AI hasn't come far enough yet to recreate me.
So how about those video games, huh?
That's right. Let's get stuck into the gaming news. Now, the first of the events from the Summer Games Fest that I wanted to talk about was the Xbox Bethesda Showcase. So this was like quite a big showcase. I think it went for like an hour, but I've just grabbed the five sort of biggest things that I saw from the showcase that I thought would be interesting to talk about. The first thing was our first look at Fable. So this has been made by Playground Games, the ones who do the Forza Horizon game. So very big change of genre for them. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do with it. But it's set to release sometime... Oh, wait, I think I fucked this up. I think it's meant to be actually 2024, not 2023.
Yeah, I was about to say there's no way it's coming out in 2023.
Whoops, way to go putting this doc together, Zach. Look, personally, I thought it looked fucking cool. A lot of it was in-game cinematics. We didn't get to see much gameplay. But I like the sort of tone that they were going for. And if it ends up looking as good as what they showed... with all this in-game stuff, then it will be an absolutely stunning title. Lockie, do you have any interest in Fable at all?
Oh, yeah. I think this is probably... it's a toss-up between this and Avowed for what is the most exciting one coming down the line.
Okay.
I really, really liked the opener. You've got that guy, Richard Ayoade. He's great. So it sounds like they're injecting a bit of British humor into it, which is good. That's very much on brand with their series. I wasn't a huge fan of number three. I thought three was, I don't know, it was a real dud, honestly. Just the trappings of that design of half of the game being this strategic ruling the kingdom thing. And it was just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, so I very much like the Fable series. I hope they release a strong game that's more to form in 1 and 2. But we'll see, because we didn't see any fucking, like, any footage of the game itself.
Nothing substantial anyway, yeah.
They said in-game graphics, you know, to show off, oh, well, graphically we're very capable, but I didn't get a sense of what the game will be like yet.
Yeah, they showed, like... the tiny, like, and I'm talking maybe 3 seconds in total cut up throughout the whole thing of actual gameplay, but it's like that could completely change by the time the game comes out. But from having a look, they haven't even set a release window yet, so I've no idea where I got 2023 from. But yeah, the speculation is like 2024, 2025. Are you interested in Fable, Anthony?
I'm not super familiar with the series. I was not an Xbox gamer when Fable 1, 2, and 3 were coming out. But I've always... yeah, I've heard very similar criticisms, especially of Fable 3 from people, similar to what Lockie mentioned earlier. And yeah, it's a it's a pretty fun-looking trailer in the sense that, oh, it's kind of a campy fantasy world, which is honestly something I'm way more interested in than just... another dark, brooding, super serial, for real this time fantasy world, which is basically everything we get nowadays. Like, give me a fantasy world that is a bit goofier and dumb, which seems like what they're going for here.
That reminds me, I need to pick up Final Fantasy 16.
I've heard from everyone it's good.
Is it? Good.
Yeah, I've got a few friends playing it, and they're all like, about it.
All right, cool. I just remembered that. I need to pick it up. When you're
there's
talking
a demo
about
too, if you want to try it.
I'm about to say there's a demo if you want to try it before you buy.
You know, I haven't played my PlayStation in like a year. So, it's in a cupboard somewhere. I'm going to have to dust it off to actually pick up Final Fantasy.
Yes. It's fair, man. Yeah. And then Spider-Man 2 later in the year.
Anyway, Fable.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, the biggest problem with this one, unlike a lot of the things that have been shown off recently, is basically no gameplay. I think I watched it yesterday, I think. And yeah, there was like maybe 5 seconds of gameplay right at the end with like a giant fight. And it's like, oh, that looks cool, but it does not give me any idea of what the game's going to be, how like anything's going to work. It's just like, oh, there's going to be a giant fight at some point. Potentially, because who knows? That could change by the time the game comes out. Who fucking knows? But like, it does look at least different to, again, the generic, realistic, dark fantasy stuff that we kind of get a lot of nowadays. Well, so it will be at least,
Just on that point, though, as interesting as it seems, like we saw that happen in God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that when I watched that trailer. I was like, God of War.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that was in God of War Ragnarok, and it was awesome. But I sure would love to see what this game will be like.
Yeah.
Oh well, this is an ongoing pet peeve with all of those cinematic trailers. I'm always left wanting and going, yeah, I liked that as a trailer, but that gave me absolutely no indication of what the game will be like. And, I want to get a sense of the game. I can watch interesting trailers till the cows come home.
Yeah.
It's probably not what I usually prefer to do in my downtime, but I guess here I am.
Look, I think it's better having in-game or in-engine cinematics than it is just having a full CGI one, because you're seeing something that's actually being done with the hardware. But even then, it could still look very different when it comes out. So I'm right there with you. I want gameplay.
But it's like we've all seen Unreal Engine. Like we all know what you know theoretically games could look like.
Pretty much.
I'm keen for Fable, though. You know, it is going to be an Xbox exclusive, so I don't know how I'm going to play it, but I feel like there hasn't been any big sort of fantasy Western RPGs for a while. The last, like, you know, you have your recent Assassin's Creed game, but I don't really like them as RPGs. They're fine. The last one I played I really enjoyed was The Witcher, and then before that was Skyrim. So it'd be cool to see someone take up that mantle, but we might see someone take up that mantle with Avowed, which also got a trailer, which had a whole bunch of gameplay in it, and has a 2024 release window. So this is the one that's being made by Obsidian, the people behind The Outer Worlds and Fallout New Vegas. I think it looks absolutely fantastic. Aaron was saying in the chat that it looks very cartoony and like Sea of Thieves, which compare the two. They don't barely look alike at all.
I think that's a very bold statement, and I think it's a very wrong statement that he made there.
There was another game that's coming up that I thought honestly looked more like cartoony than this. And even then, that wasn't that cartoony. I'll bring it up when we get to it. But I was watching the trailer. I was like, maybe he got it confused with this, because this is at least a little cartoony, where Avowed is like, nah, I'm not seeing it.
So what are you thinking of Avowed at the moment, Anthony? Are you keen for it?
Yeah, I'd be keen to play it. I can't think of... I'm pretty sure I played Fallout New Vegas, but I never got around to The Outer Wilds. So it'll be interesting to pick up an Obsidian RPG, as I hear they're very good. Do we know if this one's confirmed to be on everything?
It's exclusive. Exclusive. Yeah, it's going to be... I'd say all the Bethesda Obsidian stuff is going
to
end up being exclusive. Yeah. Like if Starfield's exclusive and whatnot. I'm pretty sure they've said that... Did they say the next Skyrim won't be? I honestly don't remember, but this one will be an exclusive.
That kills my boner a bit there, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd be able to play it either, but it looks cool. And I like that Xbox is showing me things that I actually want to play, that actually make me want to be on their platform.
Took them 3 fucking years.
I'm confusing Avowed. It doesn't look like Dark Souls at all. It looks like fucking just Skyrim again.
What? Did someone say
it just looks like Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No one said Dark Souls, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm confused, but okay.
No, I said Dark Souls earlier. I think it looks like Skyrim, basically.
You said it. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
You came for it, Lockie?
Sorry, I'm just watching it now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, 2024 release window, so we might be getting it next year. I loved The Outer Worlds. That was really, really good RPG. You know, little bit brief. It's not like a Bethesda RPG where you're playing for 100 or 200 hours. But if you can make the 50-hour experience really, like, really well and really engaging, and I have a great time the whole way through, I'm totally down for that. It doesn't have to be a 200-hour RPG. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Avowed when it comes out in 2024. Do you reckon you'll pick it up on the old PC, Lockie?
Yeah, I'll get this one. I mean, I haven't had any Skyrim game for what feels like 3 decades. And so I'll absolutely have to pick it up to see if it scratches that itch. So, fingers crossed.
Yep. Fingers crossed on
looks
that
more
one.
Exciting than fucking Starfield. Let me just say that.
Is it more exciting than a new Xbox? That's right. They unveiled the Xbox Series S Carbon Black Edition. It's
going to
be
fuck.
1 terabyte. God. There you go. And it's coming the 1st of September 2023. So now you can have a Series S that that can hold more than just 4 or 5 games, even though it's a digital console. Lockie, what do you think of the new beefier Xbox Series S?
I think this is even... This is more underwhelming than the Nintendo OLED release.
It kind of is.
I thought that was really pitiful, and that was almost insulting. This is worse than that. This is fucking, they just took a Sharpie and stuck in a slightly bigger hard drive in their shittiest console.
It's the same console. Weird. It just comes with a new hat, but it's got a new hat.
Yeah. Are you interested in it at all, Anthony? Do you think it's interesting or no?
No, I think it's a complete fucking waste, I'll be honest with you.
Yep.
Why? Only because if I'm spending... Because if it's got a bigger hard drive, it's going to cost more. At that point, why am I not just splurging and getting the Series X? That's kind of my only thing I don't understand. Yeah. Is from if it was just like, oh, like... I guess it's nice to have that option if it's like, oh, I don't care about all the spec upgrades of the Series X, but I care about space, so I want a terabyte hard drive. It's like, cool, I guess, but honestly, I think it's just, at that point, it's like, sure, I'm just going to splurge and get the Series X, surely, because that's...
This is the thing. Let's be real. This console has been around for what is it? 4 to 5 years now at this point.
Three, almost four. Yeah. Before
in
like
nearly, November. No, nearly three. It's 3 in November.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Came 2020.
It feels longer than that.
It came out 2019, didn't it?
Anyone that picked up these consoles and if space was COVID. A complaint and an issue, then they would have bought an external solid state or hard drive by now. Yeah. So they kind of already would have the solution to that. It wouldn't justify them purchasing a brand new console. If they were interested in getting a brand new console, they would probably be looking to trade up to the X.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I just don't understand this.
Yeah.
Who is this for? No one. Absolutely no one.
Look, I understand it, but I think this is what it should have been released as in the first place. Releasing a 500 gigabyte console that is digital only was one of the most baffling decisions that Microsoft had ever made to me. And even with it sounding ridiculous, it still was outselling the Xbox Series X over the first couple of years. A lot of that could be to do with they could actually buy an Xbox Series S. The demand wasn't anywhere near as much. But yeah, you're right, Lockie. They could easily just buy upgraded storage, though that's really expensive. But the Xbox Series S is... the black version is going to be retailing for $549 in Australia. The Xbox Series X is $750. So it's only a $200 difference there, and it's a $100 difference between this and the 500 gigabyte Series S, the white one.
No sense to me.
Right. Yeah.
Look, I think if the if you have to choose between a Xbox Series, a black Series S and a white Series S, I'd say go the black one for sure. More space just makes sense. But yeah, if you're going to...
But no one's choosing. No one is having that choice struggle now. It's been 3 years.
What do you mean?
They already have their console. They already have their Xbox Series S, where they would have, if storage was an issue, they would have just invested in an external hard drive, because that shit is not that expensive now. Or they would have gotten an Xbox X.
Actually, this is one of the few things for Xbox it is. It's like $300 to get an extra terabyte, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, you just buy like a fucking Samsung external hard drive. Plug it in and save on that. They're way cheap now. Yeah, and they're all solid state.
The only thing is, if you do
free
use
plug for Samsung there.
If you still use an external hard drive, you're not going to be able to use an SSD. The only SSDs that work with the Series S is the proprietary ones that they've made, which is super, super expensive, as Anthony was saying. So,
okay, right. So Xbox is already absolutely pathetic in that space. Great. Yeah. All right, cool.
And I know we've all got our consoles, but people are always buying consoles. So, yes, it is a new option for people who are jumping into
I had no idea, because for the PlayStation, solid states work for that. And for PC, it works for that. So I just assumed that Xbox, Microsoft would follow suit, considering they're meant to be the more PC, more PC multi-platform. Yeah, weird.
Like I said, my only confusion comes in, I just don't understand why you wouldn't splurge the extra and just get an X at that point. But
100%.
I guess it's still like a $200 difference between the X and the 1 terabyte. So for some people, I'm sure that's a big difference. For me, that would be like no fucking brainer. I'll just get the better one. But yeah.
I like that the white one is the small one and the black one is the big one.
It makes sense now.
Oh my.
Happy. Oh dear.
Oh
no.
It's very naughty.
Oh no, Zachy. Zachy.
Now, the next thing I'll show is Clockwork Revolution. Now, this one, we didn't even talk about it in our little group chat, but holy shit, going back and looking at it, I'm pretty fucking excited for this one. It's being made by InXile, which is a first-party Xbox studio, but they're known for like Wasteland 3 and a few other titles. So very different what they're showing here compared to what this studio has made in the past. It looks kind of like a little bit like BioShock Infinite, that kind of art style, but it seems like they're doing some kind of time fuckery where you are changing things in the past and it's affecting the future, or maybe some multiverse stuff there. It has certainly piqued my interest. Right now, though, there is no release date, so we have no idea when this will be coming, but Clockwork Revolution has got me very interested, that is for sure. Lockie, are you interested at all in Clockwork Revolution?
I think, I like the concept and design, but I don't know why, but my brain shuts down when I see steampunk style games, and I think maybe that's just because I've never really been too stimulated by the quality of the combat controls associated in these games. I've always been left wanting, so I don't know. That's all I can say. I'm sorry.
I really love Bioshock Infinite. I think that's why I'm so excited just to see something that's sort of giving us that same tone, that same feel. How are you feeling about this one, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm super on board. I agree a little bit about steampunk shit. Steampunk shit just kind of give me like inherent, not cringe, but just like, please don't just be aesthetic and nothing else. In this case, 100%. I think there is more. To the point where I got this confused for the actual Ken Levine, not Bioshock game that's also coming out. I was like, didn't we get a reveal for this? It's like, no, that's Judas. Over at Ghost Story Games. Yeah, this is super Bioshock. The minute it started up and there was like music that was like, and it showed like posters of people where it was like, it's like, Carl Johnson, the future is now. I'm like, oh, this is Bioshock. Yeah. but I am super interested because I do I like the idea of time fuckery in games, though I'm not sure how much they'll be able to do. Because obviously you can't just fuck with everything, because obviously then your game doesn't work. So there's probably going to be just like a pivotal moment that you fuck with, and that's when everything changes. But like even then, we do see a bit of gameplay where it's like you blow up a bridge, you build the bridge back up, and you walk on through kind of thing. And I think that's neat.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if it'll actually come into gameplay or if it's all just going to be scripted moments where, you know, following the story, it's going to fuck with time. Funnily enough, there was a level in Bioshock Infinite where they do some dimensional time fuckery as well. So I wonder if that was the inspiration here, because that was all I could think about when I was watching it. But oh, I'm so excited between this and, the new Ken Levine game coming. It looks like Bioshock fans are eating well at the moment. I'm pretty sure there's another Bioshock game in the works over at 2K as well, too. Obviously, without Ken Levine, because he has his own studio now. But yeah, I'm definitely excited. And I'm definitely excited for this 2K. Next title. Starfield, there was a 45-minute deep dive on Starfield. They showed so much of this game. And we're expecting to see it come out in September of this year, September 6th.
I hate Space Mondays.
You know, this isn't a visual medium. Why am I doing visual gags?
Oh, dear. Yeah. So, you're bored by the idea of this, Anthony. Anthony just pulled out a pillow and rested his head on it a moment ago. Okay.
Look, everyone and their mum is talking about how Starfield's going to make you cum bricks and it'll be the Skyrim we've all been waiting for, or the Fallout we've all been waiting for. Honestly, everything I see does not engage me in any way. And I'd be lying, like, Avowed and Fable, even though I'm not super interested in Fable, but like Avowed and Fable, I'm like, these I'm interested in. These look like the next Skyrim open world fantasy RPG thing that I'm looking for. Starfield is like Skyrim or Fallout in space. I don't know. It doesn't look very promising. It's giving me a few No Man's Sky meets like, I don't know what game feel, but just like, not very inventive, doesn't look super fun and engaging to me. And yeah, I mean, maybe the problem is also I don't want to watch a 40 fucking minute presentation or whatever about this game. I don't care. Like, oh my God, just, if you cannot, as someone who, like, I watched, like, 30 minute Street Fighter presentations, it's like, even, Starfield, like, no, it's not engaging me in the same way that, like, the Street Fighter stuff did, or even other games do, where it's like, a Spider-Man 2 30-minute presentation? Fuck yeah, I'll sit down and watch that. That will engage me, I'm sure. Starfield, just nothing's engaging me from it, so, I don't think so, no. I think this is going to be a hard miss from me. I'll leave it to you guys to fucking suss it out.
Shit. Hard miss for you, Lockie?
Oh, yeah. I was disinterested in the very beginning with Starfield. I'm very hipster like that. I was shitted because it meant that Bethesda was not putting all of its resources and assets into doing another Elder Scrolls game. And I stand by that. I would much rather... I'm more interested in Avowed, because that's what, you know, happens when you allow for that vacuum of need in the market. It looks boring. It looks like, I think it'll be a competent game. I think if nothing else, it'll be a competent game. It'll look visually nice. I think it will be lukewarm received, but I don't think it will be something that will be considered a great game. Which is a shame, because that's what Bethesda traditionally focused on doing.
Yeah, look, that's a fair take on that, Lockie. And I'm going to be the only one here who has any excitement for Starfield. Now, when we first saw it last year, our first look at gameplay, I was right there with you guys. I was very, very underwhelmed. But I don't know what happened since then, but I've done a complete 180, because the shit they were showing in that 45-minute presentation just... it looked absolutely fantastic. It looks like exactly what I want, which is Fallout in space. Graphically, it looked amazing. All the combat looked like it would be fun. The environments look very interesting and very detailed. I'm super curious about it now. Now, it is a Bethesda title, and I would say since Fallout 76, we should be looking at any of their new releases with the highest level of skepticism. So, you know, I'm not going to...
Which release of Fallout 76?
Sorry?
Which release of Fallout 76?
Yeah, which version? Pre-patch or
still trying to
patch?
Hawk it.
Oh, yeah. They still had stuff for Fallout in this presentation.
Oh, God,
which is absolutely wild.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah. The only stuff about Starfield that has me a little bit concerned or turns me off, I should say, would be something that you mentioned before, Anthony, in that it looks a bit like No Man's Sky. The procedural generated stuff does not even look the tiniest bit interesting to me. I don't want to go shoot beams at a rock and get resources go up. That is fucking boring. I didn't play No Man's Sky because I found that boring, and I'm not going to find it interesting in this world either. Apparently, there's over 10,000 planets, and only about 10% of those have any life on it. And yeah, sure, maybe that's, you know, well, it's probably more than... very different
so
to reality because it's way less than 10% of life that has 10% of planets that has life on it. But regardless, like if you go to a planet, you want there to be shit there, not just rocks.
We're not looking for accuracy. We're looking for fucking games.
I'm looking for weird penis aliens. Where are my spore creature creator creatures just roaming around the fields grazing?
Yeah. Now, look, we also, this is Bethesda, so we also got to expect bugs. They've said it's going to run at 30 FPS. I don't mind
space
that.
Space bugs?
exactly. I don't mind that too much with an RPG. If it was, you know, a straight up first person shooter, I'd say 30 is unacceptable, but with an RPG, maybe. So, look, it's a big question mark, but if they keep the promises of what they're showing in the presentation, this could be an absolutely stellar title and one that's going to draw people to the Xbox and Bethesda platform, I think. But we'll have to wait and see when that comes out eventually in September. But that's it from the Xbox Bethesda showcase that we're talking about today. Now we have Ubisoft Forward with only a couple of things I wanted to talk about, but these things I'm both super excited about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stay in the stars and talk about Star Wars Outlaw coming in 2024. So this is the Star Wars game that we found out about a couple of years ago, but it's the first time we've actually seen anything from it. It's been made by Ubisoft Massive, the team that's behind The Division and The Division 2. I thought this looks absolutely incredible. It's a open world adventure game where you're playing as like a gender swapped Han Solo, basically, with a cute little alien thing that follows you around, very much the BD one of this game by the looks of it. And what they showed at the Ubisoft Forward event just looks so interesting. It told a story, but also had lots of really fun gameplay elements going on in it as well. And the thing that impressed me the most about it is that you end up getting a wanted level. The Empire is after you. You go on a chase through the desert to your ship. Mm-hmm. They continue chasing you into space, into where you go into hyperspace and jump to the next system, all without any loading. It was all completely seamless. So if they manage to pull this off, we're going to be able to seamlessly leave planet, go into orbit, and then to another space system, all in the one... moment. It's fucking crazy. So cool. If they can pull this off, it's amazing. Lockie, are you interested in Star Wars Outlaw?
No. Well, my question is it? Is it that amazing? Fuck. We were only just talking about No Man's Sky a second ago. They already did that, and it's, you know, it's like, okay, you can do that.
Look, with the way No Man's Sky did it with the procedural generation, I'm not as into, but if they can do it with these really highly detailed planets that are interesting to explore, then I'm definitely very interested. And it just the tone of that trailer too is just so good. Nothing interested you with it?
Is the trailer in-game footage or is it just like cinematic?
it's gameplay from the look of it to me. So there's a 5-minute trailer and that from the Xbox event, and then from the Ubisoft event, there's like a 15-minute gameplay preview. So you'll see like actual gameplay and in-game cinematics and stuff. While Lockie's looking at that, Anthony, what did you think of Star Wars Outlaws?
Yeah, I was a little more interested. I think it said it was recorded on PS5, if that helps, but I can't remember.
Oh, it's Outlaws, sorry, with a plural. Outlaws. Oh, fucking up. Yes. Outlaws.
Where there's at least more than one. Yeah, I was a little... I was interested, I think, in the gameplay. It looked different from a any Star Wars game that I've played. And the world, kind of fun, although... Here's the problem... It's another fucking pre or during the Empire era game. And I think I've already talked about this.
I don't like her hair.
I
hope I can fix her hair up.
Yeah, gotta give her the mullet.
Get a brush in there.
Gotta give her the cow mullet. But no.
I don't know, just fucking brush that thing.
I'm really tired of playing games in the Empire / pre episode 4 era. I'm so tired of this world in Star Wars. I know it's not going to be exactly the same because we're not going to be a Jedi, but undoubtedly we're going to run into the Empire. Stormtroopers are going to show up. We're going to run into some random fuck from episode 4 or something, or Jabba the Hutt or Boba or something. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, can we please have something set in any other time period? Please. I am kind of done with this era. It isn't killing the game for me, but it does hurt. It does hurt my likability of it because it just inherently... It's putting the game again in an era I'm not interested in playing or watching anymore.
I just don't like her breakup bangs. Like, yeah, they're just... I hope I can fix them.
Yeah, hopefully there's a customization system like they had in Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And look, I think that's a fair...
That's make or break for me, honestly. That's the biggest concern I have with this one. I just don't think I can get through a whole game.
You got to like that hair 100%. Now, Anthony, you mentioned like you're sick of that time period. I think it's purely just because Disney knows this is the period that has all of the stuff we're nostalgic for, like speeder bikes and the Empire and AT-ATs and AT-STs, all that bullshit. So, yeah, it's kind of annoying that Disney is just obsessed with this time period right now. Like, The Mandalorian falls into that time as well. Obviously, Jedi Survivor we were talking about, so... Yeah, I can understand being a bit over it, but look, I feel like we had a glut for shitty Star Wars games for a long time until Jedi Fallen Order came out, and I'm enjoying that we're finally getting some good ones. I'm not even a big fan of the universe, but like it just looks like a fun swashbuckling adventure in space with high detail and stuff. Now, it's a Ubisoft game, so story's probably going to be about as average as all fuck. But, you know, as long as the rest of it's good, then I am down. And I'm not expecting a great story out of this one, but I'm kind of sold on the premise. We got our first look at Avatar Frontiers of Pandora coming out this year, December 7th. Apparently, it's been described as Far Cry on Pandora. It's a first-person open world Avatar game where it's Far Cry on this jungle planet, basically. Anthony, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, interested?
A little bit more than initially I was, because obviously I heard Avatar game based on the James Cameron movie or movies now. Nah, I'm good, fam. I don't need that in my life. But looking at the gameplay and looking at all the shit you can do in the world, it does look really fun. It looks like they give you a lot of like tools and just even like options to move around and traverse and just abilities, I guess, as we'll wait and see, I guess, more in the game. But yeah, like Far Cry in Pandora is such a neat, I think, concept because, it is such a weird alien world and the weird shit you can do, like... jumping from like those weird floaty rock islands onto like your dragon and then going around. It's like, oh, that's neat. And obviously, the story was the part that got me, because the part that didn't make sense to me was literally the game begins where it's like, oh, I was taken from my family and raised by them. And then they show the villain of the game, and then she's like, and then I was frozen for 15 years. And the arsehole doesn't look like he's aged a fucking day. And I'm like, hold on, hold on. Like, surely like 30 years have passed if you've been raised by the military industrial complex and then you were frozen for 15 years. Surely this arsehole should look like he's in his fucking 60s. Instead, he looks like he hit
I'm seeing footage of a very primitive sort of bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. Shoot a giant mech warrior and causing it to explode in amazing effects. Yeah. So I think there's a fair amount of suspension of disbelief we're going to need to put in this one.
That was another thing I thought was, I wonder if they're even going to attempt to make this canon. And then I thought, it's going to be a story about you single-handedly taking down like the military. No, this shit cannot fit into James Cameron's vision for this universe.
I'm sure when they gave the license to Ubisoft, James Cameron said, "Yeah, none of this can have anything to do with my fucking movies." I'm sure. And as you mentioned before, Lockie, the arrows shooting mechs, you do have to have a bit of a suspension of belief there. Like, it's the same with the Horizon games. You're playing as a primitive tribal person taking down giant robotic dinosaurs with a bow and arrow. But it's fucking great. It's fun. And look, I found the Far Cry formula to be getting a little bit tired these days. They just don't change up the games enough between them. But, you know, for a massive change in setting like this, plus with all the different stuff that we'll be playing around with, it has me keen. I really, really loved Far Cry Primal, which was the one where they set it back like 10,000 BC, where you're playing as like cave people. Mm. That was great. And it was all focused around spears and arrows and stuff. So, yeah, we'll see how this one goes. Once again, it's a Ubisoft game. I'm sure they're going to fuck it up somehow. Mm. You know, the story's going to be shit. There's going to be weird asterisks here and there.
I'll say that. I'll give them that. It looks visually interesting. I would say it looks very. I agree with you. It reminds me of Zero Dawn, but with a Far Cry gameplay mechanic. Mm. So yeah. Yeah. That's a better step in the right direction for what to do with those Far Cry games than what we've had in recent times.
And it's going to be co-op. So, Hunter, shout out to you, brother. We'll be playing this one together. I'm very excited for that. I think we'll be up to four people if you're down, Anthony.
No, what's I think it was fucking... just two, sadly.
Oh, was it?
I think they said you and another player, so presumably it's only two, yeah.
Another person who was kidnapped and raised by the
humans. I mean, they do show like a group of you, frozen. But yeah, I wonder how that's going to work. Where it's like, and it's like, yes, you are the one who will defeat the enemy. Also, you're here.
Oh, I don't think they'll even reference.
No, probably not.
call attention to it. You just pop in.
I hope they remove all the hub world and gear leveling bullshit that they introduced into Far Cry recently, though. Perfect way to do microtransactions, so maybe not. But those were the only things I cared about from the Ubisoft Forward. We did see, like, there's a new Prince of Persia 2D side-scrolling game. I couldn't give a shit. But speaking of 2D side-scrollers, there's one that I definitely gave a shit about at the Nintendo Direct. Super Mario Bros. Wonder is coming out this year, October 20th. It is a 2D side-scroller Mario game. I think the last one we got was Super Mario Bros. Deluxe, I think, which was a remaster of a Wii U game, I think. So it's been quite a while since we've had a 2D Mario game.
This is the first new one, despite what the box says.
There you go. Look, I think it looks cool. It looks like a game that'd be fun to play at the end of the day, laying in bed, just playing through a few levels quickly, watching a few episodes of Community before I pass the fuck out. Lockie, any interest in Super Mario Bros. Wonder?
Of course, it's another Mario game. Come on. You know, Nintendo knows what they're doing with those ones. They've hit that formula. They know their stride. I'm sure it'll be great. So, yeah, looking forward to it. The big hook here with this one is that Mario is an elephant. Mm. So we've had Raccoon Mario, we've had Kitty Cat Mario, I don't know, and a whole bunch of other shit. Yeah. And now we have Elephant Mario. Mm. Yes.
Yes. Free the trunk.
He's an elephant. I'm not sure why with the elephant. I would have thought we'd get a doggy Mario before we got an elephant Mario, but here we are. Yeah. Here we are. People like elephants.
The real pull I'm seeing from most people is that Daisy is finally playable and people are fucking losing their minds. It's like, yes! Ah! And people are going nuts like that on Twitter and all other places. And I agree. I like Daisy. So it's good to actually fucking play as her for once. In like a proper game, not a tennis or party game.
I like the one in Mario Odyssey, the one that was the mayor.
Oh, Pauline.
Pauline, yeah. I would much prefer to play Pauline. Mm. Fuck Daisy.
I mean, some people want to, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, okay. I just think she's just a neat character and more interesting than Daisy. If I was gonna get the brunette human looking character in Mario, I would have thought Pauline.
Mm.
Well, I don't think she will be playable in the Super Mario RPG remake. So apparently the Super Mario RPG came out in the 90s?
Yes.
Or something? And now they're remaking it and they're re-releasing it.
We did it.
I did not like Paper Mario, which is a Mario RPG. So I'm... Well, look, I didn't mind it. I just found the combat boring. I couldn't even get through the game. Yeah, I'm not interested
Mario
in this.
RPG I've played and it is... way better than Paper Mario.
Yeah.
So that's what I just say on that.
I've heard the only Mario RPGs people like are pretty much the first of each series, as far as I'm aware. It's like people like Super Mario RPG, they like the first Paper Mario, and they like the first Mario and Luigi game, and that's it. Like, the minute they get to a second game, they're like, fuck these games.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, if it gets good reviews, maybe it's a way for me to check it out for the first time. Are you interested in a Super Mario RPG remake at all, Anthony?
I'm not, although it will give me an excuse to finally play the fucking game. Because obviously it's been stuck on the SNES forever. Because it's one of those games that was in like a legal limbo or something. I don't know. But it is the game that it's the thing I often joke about where it's like, finally, those Geno fans in Smash Bros. Can finally play the game he's fucking from. Because, like, I hear so many people talk about this game and I just wonder, have you actually played it? Because it's an SNES game and not a lot of people actually are willing to go back to play that. But I like RPGs, and if this is like a cute, fun, easy to approach, easy to play RPG, that I'm not like, I'm not going to be sitting here for fucking hours grinding Bowser, am I? No? Okay, good. I'll play it. I'm sure it'll be fun, but no, this is not one that I'm like super hyped for, personally.
Yeah, it's good. That's all I'll say. It's good.
Okay.
It's way better than the fucking Paper Mario series. I'll give it that.
Nice. Well, I don't know if Pikmin's better than the Paper Mario series, but we do have Pikmin 4 coming out in July. But in the meantime, Nintendo has dropped Pikmin 1 and 2 ports for the Switch. Now, they're charging $30 each or $50 in total if you get both of them. So in Australia, I imagine it's going to be like close to $100 just to play
It
port.
Was 70, I think. I checked. It's 70. Oh.
For me, I think that's gross for ports.
Yeah.
If it's a remaster or a remake, then sure. But just for ports of them, come on. Like, aren't these games from like the early 2000s?
Both GameCube games, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I find that a bit gross. Lockie, would you be interested in going back to Pikmin 1 and 2 on the Switch?
I never played them before. So, yeah, I am curious. Be good to know what all the fuss was about, but I don't know if I like it or not.
Mm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Anthony?
Same. It's like, these were never games I played. I've heard that they're fun, so I'd be willing to pick them up if they weren't at such a egregious price point. I think, honestly, I think they missed the mark here. And I know why they did it, but I don't understand why they didn't package Pikmin 1 and 2 and Pikmin 3 Deluxe, which is already on the Switch, why they didn't just package that together in like an $80 package and call it a day, I would gladly pick that up. But I'm not paying fucking something like $140 to pick up all three of these 10-plus-year-old games, I'm pretty sure. It's like, no, it's really unreasonable for me to have to do that to play Pikmin. So more likely what I'll do is I'll wait till reviews come out about Pikmin 4 and I'll pick up that instead, because I don't think I'll need to go back.
I just find it egregious. Like, it I wouldn't mind checking out these games. You know, I'm curious about Pikmin 4, and it's a great way to sort of see what I'm in for.
Mm.
But, God, it's not even remasters, not even remakes.
Oh, they're not?
No, as far as we're aware, they're just ports.
Oh, that's so pathetic. Which is right, gross. Yeah, no, I'm not
the amount they're
that.
Charging, if they're going to just do ports, which, you know, would cost them almost nothing to port it to the Switch, then just charge less.
I would emulate it. I'm not saying I do that, but if this is Nintendo's way to sort of make more money off that, fuck them.
Yeah, I think honestly, I think $20 to $25 each if they're just ports. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But like,
I was expecting a remaster at minimum, so it looks decent on modern res screens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally fair. Now, all of these events here have all been under the Summer Games Fest banner. And there was a few little nuggets left over from the Summer Games Fest that I thought would be interesting to talk about. And the first one of that is Lies of P.
Mm.
Now, that's been delayed. It was meant to be coming out, I think next month it was meant to be coming out. Now, it's not coming out till September 9th. But there is a free demo available for Lies of P. Now, if anyone doesn't remember, Lies of P is the Soulsborne-like game where you're playing as Pinocchio in a world full of puppets, which, honestly, in this world, the puppets are basically just automatons. That's what they are.
Yeah,
but they just call them puppets in this just to make it tangentially connected to Pinocchio, I guess. Now, I played the demo for Lies of P, and I beat the first boss. It very much, and I'm sure if anyone's done their research on this game, would have heard the same thing, very much feels like we have Bloodborne at home. This is Wish Bloodborne, the combat, the world. It all feels like Bloodborne, but just not quite as good. I didn't like the feel of the combat. It was nice that we get to play a game like this at 60. Bloodborne runs chugs at like 30, barely hitting 30. So that was the one nice difference. And so some of the enemy designs are pretty cool, going with this weird sort of automaton puppet style things full of gears and everything. But I don't know. I hated the feel. There was no iframes with the dodge. There was no like roll. It was more of a just an actual dodge timing thing, which just felt a little bit weird to me, and the
parries?
Attacks didn't really feel like they hit as well. There is a parry system as well.
It seems more parry-based based on the gameplay stuff that I've seen. They seem which is weird, because it looks like Bloodborne in terms of gameplay otherwise, like attacking and dodging, except dodging, it doesn't work the way Bloodborne works, which it seems like, they're trying to go for more of a Sekiro, or like a, because literally you get perfect blocks or parries in this, where like if you time the block exactly when they hit you, you get like a free stun or whatever out of them. You get invincibility and then you can get like a free follow-up. So it seems like, it's weird that they're like, it's Bloodborne in combat, but in terms of defensive mechanics, i.e. rolling or blocking, it's more like Sekiro than any of them, really. Or at least that's what I saw,
My question with this game is, why Pinocchio?
It is a free license. That is probably my guess. You don't have to pay for it, because the guy was like a Italian guy 200 years ago and died before copyright law became a real thing. So
public
it's
domain,
you're allowed to-
baby.
Domain.
But domain. Okay, so domain. So it's ease of licensing.
Yeah.
But from a sales and consumer standpoint, why Pinocchio?
I don't know, because it's not like it's super obvious, like Lies of P. And even then, I think his name isn't Pinocchio, right? I think it's like not Peter or something, but it's like some other name.
I can't remember, but okay. It's Pinocchio. Like, because you have I forget the name of the old Italian man, but there's someone who created the puppets. Geppetto, who created all the puppets.
Tom Hanks played Geppetto in the live action Pinocchio remake. How crazy is that? And he sings in it. It's fucking.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wild. Why?
Because it's the live action Disney.
That's another fucking why. I don't know. I just don't understand the appeal.
Look, if you're going to use a public domain IP, I would have much preferred a Bloodborne style Winnie the Pooh game. That would have been a lot of fun. But maybe that can still happen. We've got time.
The only other thing that's interesting, again, sort of more leaning into Sekiro and like Devil May Cry. Oh, yeah.
Like a duck.
I don't think Mary Poppins is public domain. I think it is actually still owned by Disney, weirdly enough.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But gameplay
being owned by Disney.
Yeah.
We're all owned by Disney now.
I mean, we might be soon. Anyway, I think there was one more thing with the gameplay. Right, he has like an arm that's like a robot arm or whatever. I know he's a puppet, but whatever, it's a robot arm. It reminded me a lot of Sekiro and Devil May Cry, where like Nero has like the different arms that do different effects. Or in Sekiro, where you can apply, like, the different tools to the fake arm to do different shit, where it's, like, the feather thing, where you can, like, turn into a shadow, or the firecrackers, which explode in front of you. I don't know if you got anywhere.
Griselda.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a special arm, too. Everyone gets a special arm now.
It's true. Japanese game designers love special arms. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a Japanese game, but yeah.
Yeah, this is... People just love... Yeah, removing that arm and replacing it with something cooler.
It's a metaphor of an extension of myself.
Star Wars. Luke has the robot arm.
It's true.
But he never does anything cool with it.
No. Why doesn't he have a grappling hook in it? Why doesn't he just go like...
Yeah.
Well, you know what's even better than a grappling hook? Some spider webs. Oh, yes. We got another look at Spider-Man 2. I didn't watch it, but the important part of
it... People like this, I need to... not be such a dickhead. All right.
The important part of what we got to see from Spider-Man 2 at the Summer Games Fest is the release date. We finally know when we're going to be getting our hands on this very anticipated upcoming title. It's coming 20th of October 2023, and I could not be more fucking excited. I'll be putting in for time off work. This is my most anticipated game this year, other than, of course, Gollum, which was... I was so excited for that title.
Yeah. It's a shame. It's
holy fucking shit. Look, I didn't watch the trailer, so I have nothing to say there, but I'm just excited to know when we're going to be getting this title. Anthony, are you excited to know you're going to get to play Spider-Man in October?
I am. It's so weird to me, and I know why, but it's so weird to me that they didn't just reveal this at the PlayStation Sony event. It doesn't make any fucking sense to me from like a anything standpoint. I know why they did it, but it's just stupid. As someone who did as someone who did watch the trailer, literally I think it's Jeff Keighley talking to one of the Spider-Man guys, and it's just him being like, wow, you got any news for us? And he's like, we do. And then it shows like the Spider-Man symbol getting covered in symbiote, and then it's like whatever the tagline is that they showed off, and then it's like, it flips and turns into the date, and then the crowd goes, and that's it. That is the trailer from the Summer Games Fest. That is it. There was no new footage. It was just the release date. That's why I don't fucking get it. Anyway.
I saw some screenshots with Venom in it, so I guess that they must have just been screenshots.
Like, yeah, they showed us some screenshots when they were discussing stuff about the game, but that's about it. No, like, actual footage. It was just, oh, look, it's Venom, and he's fighting Miles and Peter. Wow. And that's it. That was the whole presentation. It was just pointing and going, oh. It's that fucking Soy Jack React meme. It's that, but with Spider-Man in the background.
Oh. Oh dear. Now Lockie, are you going to be a hipster again and go against what everyone's excited for?
Mm. Oh, don't ask me to talk about Spider-Man, please. Boo, we all know what I'm going to say.
Boo!
We all know what I'm going to say, and yeah, I'm not in it to shit on everyone's parade. If you like Spider-Man, I'm sure you'll be getting more Spider-Man. So enjoy. I hope you enjoy, and I hope you leave me alone when you are enjoying it. Thank you.
I refuse. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to make sure you know about it. I'm going to give you updates.
It's not okay that you can just enjoy it. You're like, Lockie, you must also be enjoying this.
Every 30 minutes, I'll be giving you live updates of my experience in the game. I'm so pumped for Spider-Man 2. Now, I'm also super pumped for this because we are having a return of one of our most famous segments. It's time for Anthony's Fighting Game Corner.
Oh.
What fighting game news have you got from us from the Summer Games Fest there, Anthony?
We finally got Mortal Kombat Combat. We got a gameplay reveal only a month. Not even, it was so long ago. Like two to 3 weeks after the initial reveal of just Mortal Kombat. So we finally, got a look at the actual gameplay in Mortal Kombat 1. It's very reminiscent of Mortal Kombat 11. But I think it is showing some noticeable improvements. Characters seem to be able to just do more now, and they seem to have options that let them move across the screen quicker, which was a big issue in 11. Obviously, the ally system, or the cameos, as they're called, in this, that looks really fun, where there's certain ones that seem to just bounce off your moves, where it's like, you'll be slinging shit, and then you have, you know, Sub-Zero come on from screen, frozen ice fireball, you grab them, do all this shit, it's insane. And the background visuals of, like, the arenas and all that look very cool. Unfortunately, this is the only kind of downside to the game, which is that we aren't seeing a huge leap graphically from 11, I think, sadly. It does look a lot like, here's 11 again, just with some, like, buffing done to the surface to make it look a little bit nicer. But it's not like the, like your Street Fighter 6, your Tekken 8s, where there's a noticeable jump. There's like 6 to 7 years of difference between those games and their last one. Where Mortal Kombat, it's only been 3 to 4 years. And honestly, it says more, I think, about Mortal Kombat 11, which was probably the best looking fighting game on the last gen by a country mile, that sadly, Mortal Kombat 1 just doesn't really step up that much because they already kind of looked like a next-gen fighting game on PS4 to the point where there was a literal next-gen upgrade to the PS5 version of Mortal Kombat 11.
And it's interesting with their whole titling convention that they're, like, you know, pitching it as, oh, this is a whole new Mortal Kombat thing, where it really isn't. Yeah. It's not a huge leap forward graphically. It's not a huge leap forward story-wise. It's actually a continuation of most of the characters and designs and stories in very broad sense from the previous two games. So,
Wait and see with that one, because story and character-wise, there could be some huge shifts because of the whole universe resetting, but who knows?
You're right, and there's a bit of alternative, but it's still taking place in the fuckery that they started up with in the 10-11 series, where they've gone in, you know, time's been fucked with, all of reality's been fucked with, and Liu Kang, for example, is a fire god. Like, they're continuing the story.
Yeah.
It's not even, it's not like a hard reset of, in that sense. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just not a hard reset.
I mean, I'm glad I don't want a hard reset of this universe. We already did one. No, only like three games ago, so... Mm.
I've absolutely loved all of their cinematic movies played back to back on YouTube. It's wonderful. So I'm completely fine with it. I just find it mind-boggling that they're trying to pitch it as a series that's distinct from their current designs, their current stories.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like a marketing thing to me for sure. Like, if you want to do a remake or something, you want to, not a remake or like a reboot, or, you know,
reset.
Calling the game Mortal Kombat 1, it sort of gives it certain expectations that something's going to be changed drastically, whether it be the gameplay or, yeah, the story. It just, maybe they were aware of how little is changing between this one to the next one. So they were thinking, well, if we, you know, call it Mortal Kombat 1, people are going to think it is very different from the others. Where it sounds to me they should have just called this Mortal Kombat 12 and just continued what they were doing.
Yeah, I yeah.
Do you think the next Windows is going to be Windows 1?
Maybe. I mean, we skipped 9, so it makes sense.
It'll be like, are you talking about Windows 1 original, or are you talking about Windows 1 2023?
I love that. That's my favorite thing in the world.
I hope they can get the original window back for the reboot. That'd be great.
I just want him to show up in a scene and wave and be like, hello.
It's just in the background walking past. Yep. Love it.
Hello. But
look, Anthony, do you have anything left to say on Mortal Kombat 1?
Not really. The problem is I obviously haven't played the game, and I haven't looked at a lot of... There has been some other gameplay that has come out about the game, and I haven't had the time to look at it, sadly. But yeah, it looks like, again, an evolution of 11's gameplay, and I think in the right direction to make it a lot more fun and interesting. But I don't see it as a whole refresh on the system. It's definitely not trying to just reinvent the wheel of Mortal Kombat gameplay. It's definitely going, this worked in the last one, so let's just improve that a little.
Okay, yeah, fair cop. Well, there was a lot of games we covered there from the Summer Games Fest. That's what happens when we have a couple of weeks off. But... talking about more games, we have the games coming up in the next week. So we have Sludge Life 2 coming to PC, Story of Seasons, A Wonderful Life coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, PC, and Nintendo Switch June 27th. AEW Fight Forever is coming June 29th to all platforms. Noob: The Factionless is coming to all platforms also June 29th. Crime O'Clock is coming June 30th to PC and Nintendo Switch. Everybody 1-2 Switch coming June 30th to Nintendo Switch. Front Mission First Remake coming to all platforms except for Nintendo Switch also June 30th. And Ghost Trick Phantom Detective is coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch as well. Anthony, any of those titles stand out to you?
Actually, a few. I'm just going to... Oh, I don't have them on my list. Damn. what the fuck was there? I mean, Ghost Trick...
AEW,
I'm kind of interested in, because it's a wrestling game not made by the people who make the WWE games, so it might actually have a chance to be good as opposed to shit. It also has some people who... I don't follow the wrestling scene that much, but there are a few people I know from AEW that I'm like, oh shit, I actually... like them. So, like, yes, I would do that. I would play that game, maybe. The other one was Ghost Trick, which is, like, an old Capcom game that's finally getting remade. So that's kind of neat. The only other one was... what was it? I'm not interested, but the name stood out to me so fucking hard that I have to comment on it. Sludge
Noob
Life...
The Factionless?
That one was dumb. First of all, there was Sludge Life 2... that just sounds like a porn thing. Sludge Life. I'm assuming that's like a porn subcategory. I'm just going to assume.
what porn you're watching?
I'm not watching anything. I'm just saying it sounds like sludge. Oh, yeah, I'm really into sludge. Like, see?
Well, that's a niche I got to look up.
Maybe later. Not on our Wi-Fi. I don't want people running in the house. The other one was... this one just sounds dumb. Was like... Front Mission First, was it?
Front Mission First Remake.
That's a dumb name. I'm just going to say it. That's a dumb name. And then the final one, yeah, is Noob the Factionless, which... Okay. Yeah. Yep. I was more just confused by some of the names in that list of just... What?
Yeah, this is some weird titles coming up for the next week. That is for sure. Lockie, any of those weird titles tickle your fancy?
No, not at all. Oh. Not at all. I want Final Fantasy.
It already came out, Lockie. It can't be in the games coming up.
Yeah, I know, but like, fuck this week. Clearly, it's all duds.
It kind of is, yeah. We already passed the good shit.
I wonder if Front Mission First Remake is just sort of getting ahead of the curve. They're aware that there's going to be multiple remakes of this game. So they're like, Front Mission First Remake, and then in 10 years, we'll have Front Mission Second Remake,
ooh,
and so on and so forth.
No, that one will be called Back Mission.
Mm. Back Mission Fourth Remake.
And then it'll be called Front Mission 1.
2025. Not to be confused with the
they
first.
Just don't give a fuck. Yeah.
But that'll do us for the games coming up in the next week. Let's take a brief break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Anthony, you are our guest. It is tradition on News to Reviews for our guests to get us kicked off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
If y'all aren't fucking tired of me talking about it from two episodes ago, I've still just been playing Street Fighter VI. Have actually literally not picked up another game since I started playing. Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom has truly fallen by the wayside. I'm not picking up Final Fantasy 16 anytime soon, so nothing is taking over Street Fighter 6 until probably Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man is going to be the thing that stops me. I'm not going to change my rating, although it is good to note I have finished the story mode now. I've played more online, so I'm experiencing the game a little more. The story mode's a bit of a dud by the end of it, sadly. They kind of had all this build-up, especially in the last third of like, ooh, something big's gonna happen. And then it literally ends with, I don't think anyone cares about spoilers, but it's like, it literally ends with the main villain being like, yes, you accomplished your goals. Or did you? And that is it.
Wow.
And then it cuts it hard cuts to credits. And it's just like, oh, okay. I played it and I was like, oh, maybe there's something after the credits. And there was, but nothing that's story mode related. It's just more an excuse to be like, well, why are you still running around in the story mode after you've beaten the main villain? It's like, oh, just to wander around the story mode. Okay. a bit of a dud, a bit of a disappointment, which I wasn't expecting, again, Mortal Kombat or NetherRealm level storytelling from this game, but even just a satisfying conclusion, it's a little underwhelming and kind of disappointing that this game couldn't even land on just a simple good guy beats bad guy finale. Instead, it's a weird like, oh, I guess that's how we're ending things. Okay, weird.
Okay, so did you have a good time right up until that ending, though?
Did it end in the way that it does in Balan's Underworld, where they all just dance? I like that.
Yeah, you see all the freaks you play online with like the glowing bodies and the 20-foot arms just dancing like
Yeah, that's great. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, but to answer your question, Zach, I was enjoying the story mode up until that point. It's very fun, very dumb, very aware of itself, which is why I'm kind of disappointed the story mode ends with such a kind of wet fart of nothing, is that I was like, oh, I was expecting, you know, the story mode's aware of how kind of silly this whole scenario is. It'll probably play into that, make up a big, crazy ending, and you're like, oh, okay, this is fun. But instead, just kind of ends with a wet fart of nothing. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you're fighting fridges and server room, like, server comm shit. And it's like, Surely have something dumb happen at the end, right? But like, no.
Well, and then Ryu just has a heart attack.
He has a heart attack because of his dong. Oh. Anyway.
Yeah, he has to fight a heart. His heart, it jumps out of him and he has to fight it.
Cardiac arrest fighter.
Maybe he's just passed out because all of his blood went to his massive dong.
Massive schlong. Which I think you confirmed. We were playing some games and you literally walked up to the screen and pointed and went, yeah, it's there. I could see it a bit.
Yeah. Look, disappointingly, it didn't look to me like there was any dick physics, which is what we were hoping for. We were hoping you could see the end of the knob sort of flapping around inside of his pants. But yeah, there's none of that. But it seems to me that there's clearly a little bit of an outline there. You can see that that helmet sort of against the material. So,
hang on. How much should the knob be flapping around if it's in properly fitting underwear?
I mean, he's wearing a gi. Those things are pretty loose.
I was assuming he was freeballing it, you know?
Oh, no, you can't fight freeballing like that. That would just do absolute havoc to your nethers.
That's true.
No way.
That's true. At least get a jock strap.
Got to keep them nice and secure. Yeah, you need them nice and secure. You wouldn't have them just
so the ending
around.
wasn't bad enough for it to affect your review score, though. You gave it a perfect 10 out of 10.
I really did. Just because I think even when we were talking about it, I mentioned I wasn't expecting that much out of the story mode. So it's not disappointment in the way like other games disappoint me where, oh, this game's going so well with its story, I'm so disappointed by the ending. It's more just, oh, okay. I guess we weren't going to do anything more than what we were doing. Okay, cool. And mainly again because the online and everything else has been so good with all the time I've been playing it. So, yeah, I can't really see myself dropping the score just because of how much fun I've been having outside of the story mode as well. So yeah, still a perfect 10 for me for this game.
Fuck yes. And if you want to hear more detailed thoughts on Street Fighter 6, our Street Fighter 6 review went up 2 weeks ago, so you'll be able to find that in the podcasting playlist. Yeah, be sure to check it out. Anthony, you did a fantastic job on that episode. It was a lot of fun to talk Street Fighter 6 with you. Now, I have been playing a title I've spoken about really briefly on the show before called Humanity. Now, it's by the same people who do Tetris Effect. I'll quickly look up who they are. I totally forgot. But it's a puzzle game that was released straight to PlayStation's Extra tier with their PS Plus tier system. So, not the top one, but the middle tier. Now, it's also available for purchase as well too, but you know, if you've got a PlayStation, it's definitely better off paying the $18 just to give it a try through this system. And that's how I've been playing it as well too. Now, Humanity is a puzzle game where basically you're trying to lead a bunch of humans into the light, in which that's how you complete the level. There will also be a couple, or it varies depending on the level, but there will be goldies that you have to collect, which very much look like Oscar statues come to life. They're just big gold
people.
Oh,
I thought it'd be like Goldie Hawn.
No, unfortunately not. So the goldies sort of add a difficulty system in a sense that you can just complete the levels, just get through them if you like, but if you collect the goldies, it will be a bit harder in order to finish the level. Now, there is a minimum number that you need to get in order to complete each sequence. So, the game's broken up into 7 sequences, I believe, each with between 5 to 10 trials, which are the levels. Those are the puzzles. So if you get enough of the goldies throughout those trials, then you have enough to unlock the final level and then move to the next sequence. So I'm up to sequence 6, so I've still got one more left to go. I haven't quite finished it yet, so I won't be leaving a review score, but I've definitely played enough to sort of go into all the aspects of Humanity. Now, I love this title. It is an excellent puzzle game, and this is coming off the back of playing Tears of the Kingdom, which is probably the best puzzle game I've ever played. Now, this doesn't hit me the same just because, you know, it's not doing anywhere near as much as what Tears of the Kingdom is. This is all level-based stuff. It's not a massive open world. It's just a pure puzzle game. But holy shit, what a clever puzzle game. I believe it was THA Limited and Enhance that made this one. So yeah, the people behind Tetris Effect. I love the art style. It's got this weird sort of, the humans sort of look cell shaded, so you can't see any of their facial features or anything like that. And the levels are very much just geometry. You know, you got a bunch of cubes, so everything's very clear exactly where they're all going to go. And you control this cute little doggo who runs around telling the humans what they got to do. Now, to start with, in the earlier levels, I found the doggo a little bit annoying because it's like I'm just giving commands to control the humans. Why do I need to have a character that runs around doing all this for me? It'd just be easier to have a cursor that can just freely move anywhere. But later on in the game, they do actually utilize the doggo by adding new commands that you can use, where it makes sense for you to have a character that you are moving around these levels.
Because he's a shepherd, right? He's like herding things.
Herding
the humans. What do you think the light represents?
Death, I guess. A sweet embrace of death.
Bathroom.
Really?
Bathroom.
Honestly, I don't know.
Bathroom.
It's a game called Humanity, and you're being shepherded by a dog into the light. What is this all... What do you think this is all leading up to?
Bathroom.
Well, there's definitely some kind of story going on, because you're being guided by some kind of entity. So the dog is having interactions with this entity, and the entity is telling you what to do. And it seems to me
that the dog's kind of like a prophet.
I guess so. It seems to me like the dog is sort of maybe the lens or the... the person that the entity is seeing everything through, if that makes sense. Because as the game progresses, certain things will happen, and it seems to
an avatar.
Yeah, an avatar.
An avatar. Perfect. Yeah. There you go. Frontiers of Pandora. Yeah, but basically, it seems to me
Avatar
like...
Avatar Last Airbender's getting another CGI... Oh, not CGI, live action TV show.
No,
it actually looks all right.
I know what the actual fight.
It looks all right.
It looks all right, but what the actual
fight? Man, the One Piece show looks even weirder. And what's weird is it actually looks kind of good. It'll be shit, though, is the thing.
Just give me more animated Last Airbender
series. We are getting one.
Are we?
Really? A movie. So maybe a series of movies, but no TV show, sadly. Oh,
no, I don't care about a movie. Just give me the TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Look, if M. Night Shyamalan's not involved, I'm just not interested at all. Like, how can you do it?
Yeah, you're nostalgic. There's got to be some people out there that are nostalgic specifically around the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It's weird you say that. There probably are. But anyway, Humanity.
Yeah, sorry.
All good. Look, there isn't actually too much left to say on Humanity. You know, it's a very straightforward puzzle game, but I love the tone. I love the atmosphere. I'm vaguely intrigued by the commentary that's going on. You know, later on, the humans start getting weapons and stuff that they can use, and there'll be other humans that they can face off against who will try to take them from the light. So there's some interesting stuff going on there. I'm curious to see how that's all going to wrap up, but it's such a good puzzle game in that it's difficult yet still doesn't feel so brutal that you don't want to continue. The way I've sort of been doing it is playing it like one sequence at a time, so multiple trolls at a time. And, you know, sometimes I'll get stuck on one and I'll be like, nah, fuck this. I can't do it. I've been trying to figure out this one level. But then I'll go play something else. And then the next day I'll pick it up again and it will just click instantly. Oh, okay. I just wasn't thinking about things how I was supposed to be thinking. And God, some of the levels are so complicated, and you'll see so many humans moving around in these weird, weird ways that if you get all the goldies, it is so incredibly satisfying. It's like you're seeing the Matrix. It's like you've figured it all out. I absolutely love it. It's a absolute pleasure. And they do some cool stuff.
How advanced do the weapons get?
Not very advanced. It's just like spears. They can either hit stuff or shoot stuff, basically.
What do they shoot with? I'm just curious about the technologies.
Like little laser things, and when they're lasers. When they're hitting, they're using like weird little laser swords. Though they don't, you know, they don't cut people.
Okay,
in
so
half
it's
or
very
like
so it's really futuristic.
Yeah, sort of. I get like the
in this setting.
Yeah,
I thought they were going for like an Age of Enlightenment where you're like guiding. Yeah, but it sounds like it's well beyond that.
No, apparently we're in Star Wars.
Digital Enlightenment? I don't know. Singularity, maybe.
The weapons are very much not actual combat. They're just like, you know, solutions to an issue. Like you've got to use these particular weapons to be able to get through this part of the puzzle. But yeah, they add in other stuff like, God, some levels will get flooded with water. Some of them you'll have to move different objects around in order to complete it. But it is so incredibly satisfying to complete these levels. And I've had such a good time with Humanity. If anyone's interested in a really, really good puzzle game that's going to challenge you...
I've had such a good time with Humanity.
It's been fun, but it's time to call it quits, I say.
Are you a lizard person?
I think I'm definitely going to finish this one, and I'll have a review score in the coming weeks once I do finish Humanity. But it's looking like it's going to be like an 8 or a 9 for me. It's a really
oh my god, he
really
just said he was
going to
finish Humanity.
I'm going to platinum Humanity possibly as well too.
Okay, I don't know what that means, but could be positive, could be bad. I don't know. Platinum.
There you go. But once I'm done, I will be deleting Humanity.
Oh no, Zach!
Terrifying.
Yup.
Oh my god.
But that'll do us for news to reviews for another week. It was so good to be back after having a couple of weeks off, feeling all nice and refreshed. Oh god, I had such a good time at Andrew's wedding. Shout out to all the Inconsolables. I got to hang out with all them at Andrew's wedding. Couldn't think of a better excuse to take some time off from doing the podcast. But Anthony, I got to give you a big thank you for not only providing us with this amazing bonus content so we could take a break, jump you on all those episodes, but also jump you on this episode. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be on episodes. And yeah, it's a long I think it's been a long time since me and Locke have been on the same episode. So this is fun to do again. So
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's fucking go. Anthony, remind people where they can find your podcast.
So, what do you think about this? We're all good podcasts are sold. And if you want to talk to Jaden or I, head over to WDYTATpod on Twitter. That's the best way to contact us. If you want to get in new on an episode with us, you want us to be on an episode with you, or you just want to chat about general shit.
Oh, yeah. And please, like, you know, tweet at him and tell him to hurry the fuck up and edit the most recent episode I recorded with. It's like nearly a month ago now.
I think it's over.
What are you doing?
I think it's over a month.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. People will be like, what is The Last of Us by the time it finally comes out? It'll all have been dropped from everyone's
memory. Oh, yeah. Yeah, what?
Oh, that was so much fun. I'm looking forward to that episode coming out. And if you like news to reviews and all the stuff that we do, please leave us a rating or review wherever you happen to be listening to the podcast, or any podcast that you enjoy, leave them a rating or review, because that's the best way you can help them out. Takes no time, costs no money, and makes them feel oh so good in their pants. Lockie, any final words of wisdom for us today?
All I can say is I'm keen to see what Square Enix has been doing for the last decade. This is their big moment, time to shine. I have a feeling I'm probably not going to get that itch scratched. Anyway, look, we'll see.
Yeah, we will
see.
Tune
in next week on Dragon Ball Z.
Everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another.